This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Last week, we looked at the BU hockey scandal and reported on the University Task Force report, which found that the elevated social status of the men's hockey team has led to a culture of sexual entitlement among its players.
The report came in the wake of sexual assault charges against two BU hockey players. We talked about the task force's 14 recommendations, from sexual assault prevention to changes in oversight of the university's hockey program.
But what we didn't talk about was the unique position ice hockey holds among college-level sports. Unlike in football or basketball, hockey players almost never begin their college careers straight out of high school.
These days, many college-bound hockey players participate in junior hockey leagues across the U.S. and Canada for up to 2 years. And there, they are pounded, pumped, and primed for their college debut. They emerge 2 years later physically and mentally tougher than the rest of their freshman classmates.
So it's hardly surprising that the BU task force found their hockey players aren't integrated into the wider college community. Peter May, a sports journalist who wrote for the Boston Globe for almost 20 years and now freelances for the New York Times and ESPN, has been writing about this, and he joins us now. Peter, good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. Happy to be there.
Tell us about what you found out about what makes hockey amongst college-level sports, these players, unique.
Well, I don't think it's unique to BU in terms of having these kids go away, but I think you both described it perfectly. They go away as high school seniors to, you know, Muskegon, Dubuque, all over the country. They play pretty close to NHL-type schedules. They play 60 games in these leagues. And the whole point of this enterprise is, as Meghna mentioned, is to toughen them up, prime them up, get them ready for what lies ahead. And for a lot of them, that means going back to college. So they've almost gone from high school to semi-professional, then now back to college. And
so by the time they get into college, they haven't been paid, but they've essentially been in a sort of semi-professional environment. And one thing is they're older than the other freshmen, right, by the time they come into college?
Yeah, by at least 2 years. The captain of the BU hockey team last year was a senior. He turned 25 in July. There's a lot of that going on. And I was just sort of surprised that the task force didn't really deal with that. How do you get it back to where you could follow these kids going through high school, the Jack O'Callahans, the Jim Craigs? You could follow them through high school, and they would go right to BU. When did it change? And I'd be interested to see what the gentleman from Hockey East has to say about that, because I think this is relatively recent. In the last, say, 10 to 15 years, we've seen this gradually evolve into the point where now you have 21-year-old freshmen playing hockey.
Well, you mentioned the gentleman from the Hockey East Association. That's Pete Saris. He's joining us now from Wakefield, Massachusetts. He's the Assistant Commissioner for Public Relations at the Hockey East Association, a college hockey conference in New England. And Pete Saris, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
How widespread is the phenomenon of the junior hockey, the sort of pit stop en route to college?
Yeah, I was saying earlier, I think it's the recruiting culture that we live in now, in terms of, you know, all of the Division I hockey basically is like what you just described before I joined you guys. So this isn't something that's just a BU issue. It's something that's, you know, the freshmen are coming to school at 20, 21, and you know, this is common throughout college hockey.
And Pete, when did this development emerge? When did this start happening?
I would estimate probably like 15 to 20 years ago. When my boss, Joe Britannia, played at Harvard, he entered school at 17 and graduated at 21. So you can kind of see the shift in the timeline. A lot of kids these days are kind of bouncing around different teams, and, you know, the parents get involved, and they're trying to make the best decisions for their child. And it's, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. There's recruiting, there's, you know, just getting the players more physically ready to play. Obviously, playing in hockey, we're one of the top conferences, and it's a higher level of hockey, and so their coaches like the older players because they're faster and stronger, and you know, more ready to play. So,
and Peter May, I want to ask you this question, but I want to hear Pete Sarris first. Why is hockey different than football, for example, or basketball? Because football and basketball don't work in this way.
To be honest, I really can't put my finger on why it's happening. We just know that it's the reality right now, and you know, just going over some of the figures, in the last 5 years, we've had seven players, about of our 250-plus players in the league, you know, that have gone to high school. So that's a pretty telling statistic in terms of the ratio of how many players actually come from high school. Hmm. And most of those players are coming from Minnesota High School, which is kind of a level above any other high school, you know, state hockey around the country. So,
and Peter May, same question to you. Hockey is different than football, than basketball. Any ideas as to why?
I don't myself, other than the fact that the game is getting faster and the players are getting bigger and stronger. But you could say that for football and basketball too. I mean, the basketball players, if they need an extra year, they go to Brewster Academy and they play a 30-game schedule, and that's it. Mm. It's nothing like, that's an actual prep school. These kids, they go live with families, and yes, some of them do go to class if that's what they're there for. Some of them are just there for hockey.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
But Peter May, you know, the task force, as you know, one of the things that it found was that these college players, by the time they get to college, they're sort of living in almost like a separate world. They're not integrated in with the other college kids. How do BU officials, like President Bob Brown, feel about this, and is there anything that can be done about it?
Well, I know for a fact that Bob Brown is very concerned about this one very issue, because I have an email to that effect in my inbox, and I don't know why he didn't do anything about it. I sort of think he had a real opportunity to kind of go back and start over again and maybe phase it back in a little bit or do something. The difference between BU and the other schools in Hockey East, or even in the NCAA, this is a school where hockey is the unprecedented and unquestioned number one sport on campus. Mm. And you cannot say that really about any other Division I college hockey program that holds such a high position on the campus. They don't have a football team at BU. The basketball team is, to be, you know, charitable, underwhelming. This hockey is the sport there. And so you're not only separating it because of its cachet, you're adding to that the fact that these kids are coming in and age-wise, maturity-wise, toughness-wise, are nowhere near like the kids that they're the freshmen that are coming in along with them.
Yeah. And Peter May, do you think that some of the problems, and some of them are really horrendous, that were outlined in that task force report, I mean, to what extent does this system of recruiting kids and sending them through this sort of semi-pro boot camp contribute to the issues that were talked about in that task force report?
Well, I mean, sexual assault is sexual assault. I don't think, you know, spending 2 years away from, you know, Hingham High School or whatever it is makes you any more or less susceptible to it. That's as far as I'm concerned. I was focusing mainly on the hockey part of this. I think the task force did an excellent job in getting down to the very basics of why it was formed in the first place after the sexual assault charges were filed against the two players. But I also think you have to examine the root causes of what leads to this quote-unquote culture of self-deception.
Right, and this no doubt plays a role there. Peter May, he wrote for the Boston Globe for almost 20 years. He's now a freelancer for the New York Times and ESPN. He wrote about the BU hockey culture recently in the New York Times. Peter May, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Anthony.
And Pete Sarris, Assistant Commissioner for Public Relations at the Hockey East Association of College Hockey Conference in New England. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.